everyone, welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening in the greatest county in the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. It's one of my favorite times of year. The FAFSA and DREAM Act applications opened October 1st. A few shout outs to Paris Union High School District on passing financial aid as a graduation requirement. Congratulations to Sherry Cunningham, who is the Riverside County Office of Education Director Secretary of College and Career. She is a finalist for the National Admin Awards for going above and beyond with helping students in our county with financial aid and college. Congratulations to the following Race to Submit state winners: Orange Vista High School and Rancho Verde High School and Valverde Unified School District. This month we have interviews with John King, former Secretary of Education for Barack Obama, current college students Connor Chappelle from UCLA, Jose Valdivia from UC San Diego, and John Waldrop from the California Student Aid Commission. We will also play part of a Race to Submit song from a current Norco College student and former Norte Vista High School Reach Higher Club member. If you want to hear the whole song, check it out on our previous podcast. Next month, we will be talking about the California College Affordability Summit. Huge shout out to the California Student Aid Commission, Riverside County Office of Education, the California Department of Education, and EdTrust West for putting on the summit.
Yeah, so it sounds like we have a lot to get into this month, so let's go ahead and get to it.
Yeah, we have a lot of financial aid stuff going on, and at the end of the podcast, you can hear some audio from KGGI Radio 99.1. They were at our school in Norte Vista spreading the word about financial aid, so you get to hear their audio.
All right, here we go. So we'll see you next month.
Connor, I go to UCLA, and financial aid has enabled me to pursue my dreams and interests to the fullest degree by allowing me to invest in myself and my future.
My name is Jose Valdivia. I go to UC San Diego, and financial aid has helped me by allowing me to pay for tuition and allowing me to dorm on campus.
Hi, I'm John King, the president of the Education Trust and former U.S. Secretary of Education for President Obama. Financial aid is hugely important for students to be able to access higher education. It's made a huge difference for students I've worked with as a teacher and a principal. And I know that there are opportunities that would not have been possible for me if I hadn't been able to access financial support for school. So we as a country have to see financial aid as an investment in young people, not an expense, but an investment in young people and in our future, the future of our economy and the future of our democracy.
Well, thank you, John. Can you just say hello to everyone out there listening?
Hello, everyone out there listening, and so grateful that there's a podcast focused on how we help kids reach higher.
All right, I'm with John. If you could introduce yourself and your role with the California Student Aid Commission.
Hi, my name's John Waldrop. I work at the California Student Aid Commission, and I work in the outreach and training unit. So we do a lot of the outreach training and special events for the commission.
Can you talk about the free CSAC counselor workshops and why they are important to attend every year?
Yeah, the workshops are really my favorite part of the job. And so we've expanded them greatly over the course of the last few years. I mean, we've literally doubled them. We're at 46 this year. And the reason I think people should go is that, you know, one, a lot of it seems like it's the same information, but there are a lot of updates. So you're always going to learn something that's going to help you help your students. And that's the goal of the workshops. And also, it's not necessarily just for high school counselors. You know, anyone who works with that cohort of students should attend because they're going to learn things that they can pass on and that are helpful. It's also a great way to network and, you know, see other counselors and listen to those questions. So I highly recommend going to one every year.
Yeah, I was just at the workshop today in Riverside and you guys did a great job. So I would recommend that people attend these workshops, and it's for anyone, educators, counselors, teachers, anyone that's interested. Can you explain to our listeners the difference between the FAFSA and the California DREAM Act?
Sure. So the FAFSA is the federal application that anyone can fill out if they're a U.S. citizen or they are a permanent resident and with some other criteria. The DREAM Act application is specifically for California, and it's for those students who are undocumented. So if you're undocumented, there is still money for financial aid. There's still money for you to attend college. And that's the primary difference. So they're both just applications. They both essentially do the same thing. They just serve different groups. So FAFSA, if you're a U.S. citizen or permanent resident, DREAM Act, if you're undocumented, you want to fill out. And that way we can ensure that you're getting as much aid as you possibly can get.
Can you talk about the Race to Submit and any updates that have occurred this year?
So the Race to Submit is a good tool for students, for schools to get a snapshot of where they are in the process and see if students are filling out application, if those applications are matching to a GPA. One of the updates is that we're getting information more timely. And this is always kind of a concern because a lot of people said, you know, these numbers don't seem accurate. So when you first look at it in the academic year, you're looking at information from the previous year. And then hopefully, you know, in December or even earlier, it'll get updated to reflect your actual senior class. So we've also made some other updates. So now we are really interested in not only if a student has submitted an application, but if there's a corresponding GPA and if those have matched. And that's gonna be what it shows you. And it just gives you a snapshot of where you are compared to other schools in the districts, where you are as compared to where you were last year. So in that sense, it's a really good tool. Schools are using it, you know, more and more, and it's become very competitive.
Yeah, it is very competitive. Can you tell us where educators can find resources they can share with their students or parents?
Man, there's so many places. So certainly on the CSAC website, we have a lot of information and a lot of links. I would also suggest that you can contact, if you go on the website of any community college or UC or CSU, they're going to have relevant information as well. So you definitely want to do that. There's a ton of stuff out there. And then individual groups. So for example, if you're working a lot with undocumented students, organizations like, you know, Alianza or Immigrants Rising or Brown Lives Matter or Education Leadership Foundation in Fresno, all of these groups offer information and have resources. So there's a lot of it out there, but you just have to get out there and look.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you some questions that sometimes educators want to know, or even our students. If a student does not live with their parent, how do they know if they should list their parent or legal guardian on the FAFSA?
Yeah, that's a hard question, and it can be really confusing for the students because kids live in very convoluted situations, and it makes it hard for them to understand who they need to list and what information they need to provide. So generally speaking, applications want information for the biological parents, right, or adoptive parents. So even if you don't live with your parents, but you have access to reach them and their information, and you're not considered an independent student, you want to include information for those biological parents. If you've been adopted, same thing for your adoptive parent. If you live with one parent and not the other, you're going to use that parent's information. The challenge can be is if you are living with your grandma or your aunt or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or, you know, a friend, you know, whose information do you put? So unless someone has legally adopted you, then you can't use that financial information. So even if you've been living with your grandmother your entire life, unless grandma has adopted you, you can't use that financial information. What you can do if you're in a legal guardianship or you're not connected with your parents is you can talk to the college and ask them to do a professional judgment where they can say, for financial aid purposes, we're going to consider you an independent student. And that way you don't have to provide parental information, which is important if you're not in contact with your parents, right? So normally the college can definitely give you some answers on that. If you know where you're going to go, you can contact them and say, here's my situation, what should I do? They're going to have answers.
Okay, what about if a student's parents are divorced? Maybe they have split custody. How does a student know which taxes to use for their financial aid?
Okay, so first of all, it doesn't matter who claims who. So if your mom or your dad claim you on the taxes, that has nothing to do with financial aid. What does matter is who do you live with most of the time? So most of the time, like if you're living with mom and you spend some time with dad, you're going to use mom's information. If you're living with dad and you spend some time with mom, you know, the opposite. If you're with both, you know, who's providing the most support, right? So you can't say it's exactly 50-50. There's 365 days a year. So somewhere along the line, you're spending, you know, a little bit more with one person. But 99% of the time, it's who you're living with. That's the person whose information you're going to provide. And if you're living with both, who do you live with the most?
Okay, that's great. Can you let our listeners know why it is important for a student to have an EFC estimated family contribution when they submit their FAFSA.
So when you do a FAFSA or Dream Act application, assuming that it's done correctly, it's going to generate this thing called an ESC, and that's estimated family contribution. That doesn't mean that's the amount that your check, the family's going to have to write a check for. It's just a number that's used to calculate how much money you need for school, what your financial need is, your unmet financial need. So the reason it's important to have an EFC is if there's no EFC associated with it, and an EFC can be $0 or it can be $100,000, right? It can be anything in between. But if you don't have an EFC, that's a good indication that your application has not been successfully submitted. You're hung up somewhere in the process. You're missing information, so it didn't allow that to process through. Or you saved an application, but you didn't actually submit it. So without an ESC, you are kind of stuck. Now, in some cases, if you're a FAFSA filer, but your parents have to mail a paper signature page, it may not generate that information until that gets processed. So there's sometimes where you're just in a holding pattern, and you've done everything you need to do, and you can't do anything else about that.
That's totally understandable, because I know some of our students, when they don't have an EFC, they have to go back in, make a correction, or maybe it's a signature page they have to fix. Why is it important for a student to complete their FAFSA or California Dream Act as soon as possible?
Yeah, you should do it early. I mean, it opens October 1st. Now, if you didn't do it October 1st, you're still fine. But the reason that you want to submit it early, there's a couple reasons. One, the earlier you submit your application, the earlier you're going to know if you have a Cal Grant. So if you do an application in October, in November, you're going to know if you have a Cal Grant. And while you may not know about all the financial aid you're going to get, if you know you have a Cal Grant, that's a pretty good indication that you can start thinking about what college you might be able to attend based on that information, right? So, and the second thing is there's this myth that if you do it earlier, you're going to get a Cal Grant. It's more likely. That's not true. Doesn't matter when you submit it for Cal Grant purposes. If you do it before the deadline, it's going to consider you for a Cal Grant. But doing it earlier is better. The other reason you want to do it earlier, a couple reasons. If you make a mistake or you have a problem or an issue that takes some time to resolve, we're not going to get into past the deadline. It's going to be impactful for you. Also, if you do it early, some aid is first come, first serve. So some work study programs, some institutional aid is really based on first come, first serve. Student loans for Dreamers is a loan specifically for Dreamers. And you want to make sure that you've applied early so you can be considered for that at a UC or a CSU where they're available. If you do it early, you can be given consideration. If you wait till the very end of the process, you may not have that chance.
Yeah, and I know with the community college, it's best to file early and apply to the college early too, because some of our students waited the last minute and they didn't get their classes. So then that affected their financial aid. So we're trying to encourage our students to do it early, to apply to the community college and do their FAFSA or Dream Act. I don't know if you've run into that, but that's something we ran into this past year. Can you address how we can help families that are undocumented and concerned about their privacy?
Yeah, this is just a really difficult time for those families because just of everything that's going on and the politics, and it's scary for them, and that's really unfortunate. So what you need to know in the state of California is, one, you're in the best place possible to apply for aid and get aid, because no state offers undocumented students the resources and the money that the state of California does. So, the second thing is, we understand that students and their families have privacy concerns. We share those concerns with them. But if the option is apply for financial aid and go to college and then kind of let's wait and see what happens politically, or don't do anything, and don't leave the house, we say, apply for aid, go to college, start that process. And we're just going to hope that the political climate changes so that it's not so challenging for those students, because we get it. It's really, it's really tough for them. And so especially with all the sort of political banter that's going on, and, we're in a period where there's a lot of divisiveness. So we get it. But, apply for school, apply early, get into college. Education is always going to be your best bet. So we do want you to apply, and we hope that, like the vast majority of students, never have an issue. And so we hope that's the case, with these kids as well.
Yeah. And for students that qualify for the middle class scholarship, is the scholarship still delayed, and how can we help them as they are navigating their financial aid package?
Yeah, the middle class is tough, but it's easy to apply for, because if you apply on time with the FAFSA or the Dream Act and you just don't get that because your income over, for example, for Cal Grant A or B, you're automatically going to be considered for the middle class scholarship. So the challenge with the middle class scholarship is it is one of the last things that we run. So really it kind of becomes more of a rebate program than, you know, than a traditional financial aid program, because it runs so late that students have to make payments and then, you know, use that money to either pay that back or use how they need to use it. So that part of it is a challenge. The UCs and the CSUs are aware of that. So schools work with students when they know they're awarded and can sometimes offer like a bridge loan or something, right? So they can make those payments because, you know, at a UC especially, it can be a significant dollar amount. It can be $2,500 a semester. But it is money you kind of get after the fact, at least the way that it's set up now. And that part of that is because we process different things at different time. And our system, unfortunately, at least right now, we don't have the ability to process everything at the same time because we just don't have the bandwidth to do that. Middle class scholarship is one of the most recent things that, you know, came on in the last, what, 4 or 5 years ago. So it's at the tail end of when we process. And unfortunately, it's going to be that way for a while. So students need to work with their financial aid offices. And if they have an award, you know, work with the financial aid offices on the timing.
For students that do not apply for financial aid their senior year of high school, will that affect their eligibility for financial aid in the following years?
There's a couple times when it's the best time to apply for financial aid. So one is the year you graduate from high school or the second year after that. In other words, you've been out of high school for a year. The reason that's the case is because those students have a 2-year window of eligibility, right? So the year they graduate from high school is probably the easiest time for them to get a Cal Grant. But if for whatever reason they take a year off, they decide not to go to school, or they even don't get a Cal Grant for some reason, the following year they can still get a Cal Grant. What's important is, one, they have to apply again, obviously, before the deadline. And two, they have to make sure that a GPA is uploaded for them for that subsequent year. Because the GPA that was uploaded for them their senior year no longer counts. We're not going to look at that. Their school has to upload a GPA for them for the second year. So you can apply beginning October 1st. So that's when you can do the FAFSA or DREAM Act application. We encourage you to do that. You know, the hard deadline remains March 2nd. So for entitlement students, it's that March 2nd deadline. Now, there is a September 2nd deadline that's very specific to the competitive Cal Grant and also for foster youth in some cases. But don't wait until September 2nd. You should apply as close to October 1st as you can. And certainly no later than March 2nd.
What are some things that can hold a student up from receiving financial aid?
Well, there's lots of things. So it can be that there's an issue with their application. It can be that the application's not matching with the GPA. You know, it could be that they're selected for verification at the college level and they have to provide that information. And they may not have it all, or they may have difficulty getting it together. You know, sometimes it's just they're not communicating timely with the college, right? They're getting emails and they're not responding back in time. And obviously, you know, there are deadlines that have to be met. So a lot of things can be resolved. The main thing is, and like I said previously, if you apply early and there's an issue, there's almost always time to resolve those issues. If you apply, you know, March 1st and there's an issue, you know, then we're in trouble. So apply early and then check your status. And then everything is fixable, I like to say. So we can work with students to help them after that deadline.
What about if a student holds, or actually not holds, if they win a scholarship, does that affect any of their grant aid?
I mean, it can. So because everything's considered, because it could impact their financial, their unmet need. So if, for example, the student gets a one-time scholarship, now that might impact aid for one semester, but not for the entirety of their, you know, their four plus years at college. If they're getting other aid, then it's just going to be how the school calculates that other aid. So we see that with like athletic scholarships, military information. We see that with, you know, different kinds of things that are applied, because you can't overpay a student, right? And especially if it's money that's earmarked for tuition and fees, you know, you can only get up to that maximum amount that the school is going to charge. You can't go over that. So Cal Grants can be adjusted based on that other income that's coming in. Sometimes you have to put a Cal Grant on hold because you're getting other money from somewhere else. So it really depends.
What about if a student gets a job? Is that going to affect their financial aid, or is it only a certain amount of money?
Yeah, so getting a job. So for most students who are trying to be full-time students and working part-time, Typically, that's not enough to impact their financial aid. Everything gets counted, including student income. But if the student is a dependent student, then it's negligible, you know, that amount of money, right? So they would have to make a lot of money for it to be truly impactful for their financial aid. And we realize some students have to work. So is it impactful? I mean, it can be if the dollar amounts are significant. 95% of the time, it's not.
What do you suggest to students whose parents are not willing to give up tax information in order for them to complete their FAFSA or DREAM Act?
Well, that would be a sad situation, but it does happen. So if the parents are unable or unwilling to provide tax information, then really the only alternative is that if they absolutely can't get it, they have a couple options. If they know about how much the parents make, they can estimate that dollar amount and then work with the college. But if they can't get it, there's a part of the application that says, I'm unable to provide parental information. And then they would have to go to the college and say, here's my situation. So every situation's different, and they would really have to work with the college on that. So, you know, I mean, we want them to apply. We want them to apply on time. So if they know the approximate dollar amount, they can estimate that and go back and update it. But if they're just not, maybe they're not on speaking terms with the parents, or, you know, they have special circumstance, they just fill that application out the best they can, and then they have to work with the financial aid office at the college.
How can schools take a systemic approach to understanding how to read and filter web grant reports?
Oh, web grant reports. They're so delightful. I think the thing is, don't overthink it. There's really two or three reports that are valuable in different times of the year. So one, you want to make sure that all your GPAs got uploaded, so you can check that report. And then over the course of the year, you want to make sure these kids are matching, right? That their GPA is matching with the application. So you look at that unmatched report and a handful of others. You really, you know, I tell people, if you haven't done it before, you know, get Web Grants access and get in there and get your hands dirty. You know, once you do your GPA upload, you know, every week they're going to change, and they're going to, you know, accumulate more information. So go in and look at all the reports. And then if you have questions, contact us and say, what should I be looking at for this? What should I be looking at for this? The really good counselors and the really good people are on top of the reports like crazy, you know, because it'll tell them student by student, you know, if they've applied, if they've matched, if they've been awarded, if they're not being awarded because it says there's no ICER data or there's no GPA or there's something else weird. Because then you know very early on there's stuff that needs to be fixed for those students. So working the reports is really, really critical. You can also go in and help sort of force match students, right? So if you say, oh, the student didn't spell his name exactly the same, or they use two last names here and one last name here. You know, you can go in and look at that information, and you can verify that that's the student and that's your student, and then just match them. That will allow them to process through. So there's a lot of things you can do with the information in Web Grants, and the reports and that information is going to get better as we update our system.
Yeah, I constantly use Web Grants. I'm one of those counselor nerds who's constantly checking it, so I really appreciate it. Recently in Texas, they passed FAFSA as a graduation requirement, and I know Valverde Unified and recently Paris, they got it approved to be a graduation requirement. What do you think about it being a graduation requirement in the state of California to possibly happening?
It should happen. We should absolutely do it. So I think that the more support that we provide, you know, while these kids are in high school, the better it is for them. So my number one, hats off to any district or high school that's requiring it. It only helps their students. And those numbers go way up. And so what happens a lot of times is the student goes, oh, wait a minute, I can actually afford to go to school, right? You forced my hand, you made me do a FAFSA or DREAM Act application. But look, I'm going to get money. I can go to this community college. I can go to the CSU. And I can afford to pay for it. And then that's kind of the power of filling out the application. I think California should absolutely, without a doubt, put something in place that says, you know, we're going to allocate school time, right, to fill out these applications. And it's going to be a graduation requirement. And not only that, but to provide even more financial aid information so that kids understand, you know, the deal. So not only about the financial aid, but about applying for college, basic financial information. All these different kinds that we talked today, for example, in our workshop, you know, students need to understand their financial aid package and all these different things and where they're coming from and how they keep them and what they need to do to maintain them. The more with that we can do in high school, the better it is for those students.
So at the end of our podcast, we like to do the Sunshine Spotlight. So we like to share at least something that made us happy this week. So I'll go ahead and start. Just recently, I got asked to speak at the University of Laverne. So I'm going to be a professor starting next week. I'm going to teach a class one night a week. So, of course, I'm going to incorporate FAFSA, Race to Submit, and all that. So I really appreciate you sharing everything with us today and getting all this out to our listeners. What would you say was your Sunshine Spotlight of the week?
Well, I think I'm going to come down there and be your aide for sure for the class. So one thing that happened with me was that I do a lot of outreach, and so I did some outreach earlier this year, right before summer. So, and I was trying to help this cohort of students, and there was one young lady in particular who was really struggling. And so we had to fix a lot of things. She was sure she wasn't going to be able to afford college. You know, I talked to her, I don't know, 10 times over 3 months. And at the end of the day, we were able to fix everything, and she was able to go to school. And so, one, you know, good for her for being so persistent. But, you know, I mean, it makes you feel good when you feel like you've done something really tangible that really helps someone, you know, do what it is they want to do. And in her case, it was go to school. So for me, that was great.
That's great. And you help a lot of people across the state. I know I probably talk to you on the phone because I call you guys a lot. But I really appreciate you being on our podcast. And thank you for all you do across the state of California and in Riverside County, of course. So if you could just say goodbye to all of our listeners out there.
All right, guys. Bye. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Reach higher.
So this is about FAFSA. So this is the Race to Submit. And it's on right now, so make sure you do your FAFSA on California Dream Act, because the application opens soon. It opens October 1st. So this is what they call a race to submit. So go online, fill out your FAFSA on the California Dream Act, because the application opens pretty soon on October 1st.
Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.